Let's see, it's 4 o'clock. I think we'll call this, call the meeting to order. Board of Adjustment, Wednesday, February 19th. Roll call vote for attendance.
McGill.
Here.
Brecky.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here.
Winfrey.
Here.
Schneider.
Here.
Okay, in front of you, board, you have the approval for this afternoon's meeting or the agenda. Do I hear any additions or subtractions? If not, we'll leave the agenda as submitted. Also in front of you are the minutes from the previous meeting. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to it? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
Motion to accept the minutes as written.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Okay, also in front of us tonight, we have the findings of fact from the three previous requests that we had in front of you. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to that? If not, we probably should have a roll call vote on that. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to accept the findings of fact as written.
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Brecky.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Winfrey.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Okay. Moving on, just a breakdown to those of you here. Some of you have been here before on how I run the meeting. In essence, we'll ask for any comments from the public from any of the issues that have been in front of the board but are not on our agenda this evening. And then after that, once we're through those, then we'll move on to our conditional use permits requests, and we'll go through that. And when we handle those, we'll have the staff give their presentation. We'll ask for any comments from anyone that's here representing the applicant, and then we'll ask for any comments from the public, and then we'll go back and rebuttal. And once that's finished, then we will close the meeting, and then we'll debate the issue. Give you an answer as you leave here tonight, unless we table it. The one thing I would ask is that if you do have comments and that sort of thing, keep your comments to 10 minutes so we can keep the meeting moving along. With that in mind, I will ask any public comments on anything that's been before the board, with the exception of what we have here this evening. Hearing none, we'll move on to our first one. This is CUP 0290.6, Martin Marietta, Amos Mines, Lurie, Amelia.
Okay, so this was a request you all heard at your December meeting and was tabled at that meeting. It's the Martin Marietta Ames Mine request for off-site storage of rescue equipment. And on their site at the Ames Mine, a sighting of 4 slurry drops. The slurry drops it's slurry pumped from the wash plant. It's water mixed with limestone fines pumped through a 16-inch above-ground black pipeline to the drops, which are drilled in the ground. And then the slurry actually fills in previously mined out areas. It's a storage solution for the slurry. And then the process water kind of filters out of the slurry and then is, you know, pumped back up to the surface to be reused. So it offers processed water recycling as well. Regarding the rescue trailer and equipment storage site, that is located off-site across the road from the Ames Mine. An off-site location is preferable to ensure accessibility in case of an emergency. The board heard this request at their December 18th meeting and tabled the request, specifically requesting testing and analysis of the contents of the slurry and a pipeline leak protection plan. At that meeting, the board had several questions about the impact on the South Skunk River if the pipeline were to leak. Several members of the public had similar concerns. Additional concerns expressed by the public included about noise from the pumping of the slurry through the pipes. The applicant noted that while slurry is not currently being pumped through these pipes, there is a pump in place that has been used in the past at the processing plant, and no new pumps are proposed So it's just the pump at the processing plant. And the applicant noted that there should not be any noise from the slurry moving in the pipes either. One property owner whose property was within 50 feet of a proposed slurry drop also expressed concerns about the impact of a leak or spill on their property. I will note that there is a new proposed drop location for that drop that I'll show you in just a second. So it's no longer 50 feet. So this is a vicinity map. Do you have a pointer? Okay. So there's a star on the Ames Martin Marietta mine where the slurry drops are going to be located, and there's also a star to the south along North Dayton Avenue, just north of the city of Ames and USDA, where the storage shed for the rescue equipment is currently located. Thank you. Okay, so here's the general location of the slurry drops, and here's the general location of the equipment storage. The picture on the right-hand side is also the current conditional use permit boundary. So that's where Martin Marietta has a boundary around certain parcels to conduct activities related to their mining operation. This request would include the three parcels to the north where the slurry drops will be located. However, that is recommended by staff to be a temporary expansion. So when the use of the slurry drops ceases on those parcels, the boundary will be reduced back in scope to the current boundary. The subject property with the equipment storage shed will be a permanent part of the Ames conditional use permit boundary, although it is not adjacent or connected. It'll just be its own property, part of that boundary. So the slurry drops, this is the previous image from the previous meeting. So you can see there's four slurry drops proposed. This is the farthest north one is slurry drop one. That would be the first to be used for 1 to 2 years. And then slurry drop two is located here. So that is, the aerial image is a little bit dark, but here's the Skunk River. It kind of flows right here. So slurry drop one and two are the closest to the Skunk River. And so that was, you know, the board's wanted the spill protection plan specifically for those slurry drops. It does address spills from those slurry drops and the pipeline itself. Slurry drop four is actually located down here closest to the mine property. And there is an existing drive that follows this yellow line that indicates the pipeline that was already constructed to access the drives, to access the drops. That will only be used daily for inspections, so no real traffic increase. This is the large agricultural parcel with the steel utility building with the rescue equipment and trailer. So let's get into the board's requests from last time, the additional information requested. So Martin Marietta had the slurry testing results. I put a full version of these results with the footnotes in your staff report. But basically, the applicant indicated that based on the results, nitrogen and nitrate and nitrite was found in the water sample taken from the slurry within drinking water standards. Diesel or fuel or oil were not found, and a substance was reported that was present within the laboratory testing range for gasoline. So that's the TEH gasoline you see up here with the asterisks. But that sample was not present in the full range of gasoline, so it's gasoline-like. It's not necessarily gasoline. It had a spike in the range where you'd normally see gasoline. And they don't use gasoline in the mining operations. The other substances found are used in the mining operations. Staff sought additional information about the standards that applied from the Iowa DNR after receiving the analysis results. The Iowa DNR referred us to the EPA Region 7, and so we reached out to EPA Region 7, and they indicated that an underground injection control program permit would apply, and so Martin Marietta is currently going through that process to register the underground slurry drops with the EPA as part of the underground injection control program. If through that process the EPA determines conditions needs to be placed on the operation to ensure it's within standards, then that means it would go through a permitting process. So either it will be a registration process or a permitting process if there's conditions that need to be made. Let's see. In addition to the EPA's program, their EPA's website notes that the Iowa Department of Natural Resources must be contacted for a review of injection activities, and Martin Marietta has agreed to do this. I think the DNR in some states would oversee this program for the EPA. In Iowa, it seems like the EPA oversees this program for the DNR, but just checking our, dotting our I's and crossing our T's to make sure that all necessary permits are granted and had. Regarding the slurry pipeline leak protection plan, the additional measures proposed since the December meeting create some redundancy in the system, which is important. So there's flow sensors and pressure sensors proposed that will automatically shut down the system if there's a change in flow detected. There will also be camera surveillance. I think there was a concern about, you know, what if there was, I think somebody hunting and hit it before. And so there will be camera surveillance. There will also be passive measures. So those are measures that it's like a check dam, a rock dam at the end of the slurry drops to prevent the slurry from getting through. And there will also be silt fencing downslope of the check dams as a secondary passive measure that will prevent slurry getting to the Skunk River. I'll have a diagram on the next page. And then slurry drop 3, which was closest to an external property line, has been moved to a setback of 200 feet. And the applicant indicates this will also mean that the slurry will actually flow west away from the property instead of east towards the property based on a contour map. So here is the proposed protection plan. So here's a silt fence located downslope of slurry drop 1. And then you can see there's also a rock check dam located downslope of slurry drop 1. Similar silt fence and rock check dam by slurry drop 2. Slurry drop 3 has been moved in from the property line, the external property line. There is also an earthen diversion berm proposed along the pipeline here. And the applicant indicated there's a culvert located here that will be blocked in case of a spill. So those are the main protection measures proposed besides having this camera surveillance and having the pressure and flow detection sensors on the pipes. So staff believes, given the redundancies in the spill protection plan, it sufficiently addresses the board's concerns or should regarding a spill. While the EPA's underground injection control program is a parallel process with the conditional use permit process, so their approval is required but not dependent on you issuing a conditional use permit, staff does recommend that the Board of Adjustment table the request until they've registered with the EPA and also determined that there's no registration required with the Iowa DNR. Martin Marietta has agreed with staff's recommendation to table the request until March 20th or meeting after the necessary permits from the EPA or DNR are obtained. But we do have the environmental engineer here tonight who designed the spill protection plan and can talk to you more about the testing if there's any questions or concerns that you'd like to bring up tonight. We did receive one additional call from a property owner. We did re-notify for this meeting that had some similar questions about noise. I believe they also talked with Martin Marietta about their concerns. But other than that, our recommendation would be to remand the request until we get that registration from the EPA and DNR. I'll take any questions and then.
Questions, board?
I have a question.
Sure.
The neighboring property, mm-hmm. The slurry now moves away from that neighboring property. Is there anything to prevent, like we have the rock wall and the silt fencing mm-hmm. for the river, is there anything to prevent it from going if it were to go towards the property line, or is it like?
I think it's 200 feet from the property line, and the contoured map shows that it would flow
north and west.
And that's not likely. Okay.
Yeah. The applicant could probably speak to that further about why that location was selected, too. Okay. But we did review the contours to ensure that was the case.
Other questions for staff?
I don't have a question, but I just wanted to say thank you both to the staff and to Martin Marietta for responding so comprehensively to the concerns that were raised in December.
Yeah, one thing to add also, I know you've been here before, but state your name and address so we've got for the record.
Sure. Neil Grant with Mark Marietta, 11252 Aurora Avenue, Urbandale, Iowa. I don't have a whole lot to add. As Amelia pointed out, staff's recommending that it be continued, and we're fine with that. I guess I would just follow up to say we have reached out to the EPA and discussed the matter with them. We previously determined that that program did not apply to our activity. I've got a better understanding now of how that determination was made after talking to the EPA. They intend to regulate structural mine backfill, but the way that their rules are spelled out, they regulate what they intended to. There are some things that they did not intend to regulate that kind of get roped in, which is kind of the category we're falling into. And then there's, unfortunately, some things they intended to regulate that they did not, based upon the way it's structured. If somebody trucks in mine backfill, it does not fall under this program, even though that would have been intended to be regulated. And in our case, because we're recirculating water in mine through the use of a vertical shaft, that's what ties us to the similar program. So based on our conversation, we don't believe they're going to require a permit or any conditions. We've provided the necessary information to them to make that formal determination. But regardless, because of the use of the vertical shaft, they would consider it to be part of that inventory program. And so at this point, we anticipate we will be registered with them. As Amelia pointed out, the DNR does not have primacy in these things. It is the EPA, but we did reach out to the DNR to identify if there's anything they would want or need from us. And they said, no, not at this time. That we'll submit to the EPA. EPA will forward to them for their review and input, and anything from the DNR, if necessary, would be handled through the EPA with the primacy of the program. So those processes are all in place. We hope to have definitive answers from everyone before the March meeting, and we can be back on your agenda at that time. If it takes a little longer, we might need to bump up a more time. But yeah, like I said, we've already reached out, and all of those wheels are moving, and we're comfortable delaying until we get definitive answers on all of that.
Okay. Thank you. Questions, remarks from the public? None heard? Okay, so basically we need a motion to table the request until March 20th or after.
I'll make a motion we table the request, the CUP 02-90.6, until March 20th.
I have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Brecky.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Winfrey.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Again, your considerations, we appreciate it. Okay, moving on board, we have CUP 02-16.1, St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church parking lot expansion. Amelia, you're back up again.
Okay. This is St. Peter's and Paul Church. Some of you might be familiar with them from a few years ago in 2016 when they got a conditional use permit. So this is a modification to that permit. They're located near Gilbert and Story City on the County Line Road with Boone County. And the representatives are here. Thanks, Jerry. I'll just skip forward to the aerial image so you can kind of get an idea of where we're located. So the purple parcels are in Boone County, and the parcels that are in red are from Story County. I've put together the Story County and Boone County beacon maps, so that's why it's different. But okay, St. Peter's and Paul Catholic Church was constructed in 1917. They did get a conditional use permit in 2016. Prior, they were considered a legal non-conforming use, and they got that conditional use permit to do an addition on their church. The addition moved the entrance from the side closest to the right of way of the church to the west side of the church, because there were some issues going on with folks parking in the right of way since it was so close to the entrance. Currently, during larger events, so for instance, Christmas Mass, there is still an issue with not having enough parking. Staff reviewed some aerial imagery and could see stacked parking going on in the parking lot where you'd have three cars parked, kind of like you would park if you had a single lane wide driveway. So if somebody's parked in the middle, they can't get out. So that is still an issue. The applicant did identify that sometimes vehicles are still parking near the road right-of-way during these larger events, which again isn't permitted under that existing conditional use permit. So some expansion of their parking is needed, which is why they're here. Initially, staff thought this would just be a site plan modification that we could review, but it is quite a large expansion. It includes a driveway to connect to a new to connect to an existing circular drive to add two more accesses to the parking lot to the church. So it kind of changes the traffic flow that was previously approved. So we brought it forward to you all to review tonight. So this is an aerial image of the site. You can see the church occupies the northern portion of the site, and the rest is in row crops. In addition to the church building, which maybe I can get a pointer here. This is the church building. In addition to this building, there's a classroom building and a rectory and actually a single family dwelling located on the property too. You can see this is the existing parking lot. And there's two accesses from 500 into the parking lot now. I have a better picture here in a moment, but this is the existing circular drive that then a driveway will connect to add additional access. Here's the site plan. It was included on the agenda center. I know it's kind of hard to read on the PowerPoint slide, so I apologize for that. But basically, the new parking area is this darkened-in area. So they are proposing two sections of new parking. Then this is the northern section. We'll have 29 spaces and be approximately 11,000 square feet. Then you have the existing septic system, which kind of bisects the parking areas. So this is the southern parking area, which will have 20 stalls in it. They are proposing steel pipe bollards along the parking spaces that are adjacent to the septic system to prevent vehicles from parking on the septic system, which is important. Environmental Health reviewed this and approved it. And they are also proposing, so from the extended driveway area, putting extended parking area, putting a new driveway in. So they'll remove this shed and actually connect the parking area to the circular drive so that there will be exit-only traffic on the northern drive and entrance-only traffic on the southern drive, which provides a two new accesses to the church, essentially, which will help with traffic flow. The county engineer reviewed this plan and approved it. They will be moving these propane tanks.
So go back a minute to that picture.
Yeah.
I hate to interrupt. So where is the, from looking at that picture, where is the north and south, and where is the septic system?
This is an old aerial image. This is before the 2016 CUP.
Okay.
So this ag land was actually on the church's property at that point and was taken out of production in 2016. So the septic system is over here now. So it just doesn't look quite the same.
So what we're talking about is kind of on the right edge in the field of this picture.
Yes, it's in the field in this photo. Mm-hmm. Let's see. There are standards for parking areas that are all met by this proposal. We have parking maximums in Story County instead of minimums, which helps prevent excessive parking and impervious surfaces. They're allowed to have 150 stalls under this requirement maximum with the current square footage of the church buildings. They're proposing 130 stalls. We did want to communicate that with the applicant because sometimes it gets hard if there's a future expansion needed and there's no new space being added to the church with a parking maximum. We can't allow beyond 150 parking spaces. All parking spaces should also be clearly marked. That gets tricky with a gravel parking lot. Staff was concerned given the stacked parking issue as well. But with the additional spaces, and they are doing some paving in the existing parking lot for additional ADA accessible spaces, and the steel pipe bollards in the new section of parking. We're hoping that provides a model for folks to line up with when parking. We are recommending a condition that the church continue to monitor that in the future. Once the parking expansion is done, if it continues to happen, maybe we need some, you know, curbs or something to better delineate things. But again, it is a gravel parking lot, so there's limits. You can't stripe that kind of thing that you would in a normal parking lot.
The county does not have a paving requirement.
Yeah, we don't have a paving requirement. And parking lots do require certain landscaping to offset new impervious surfaces. 20% of a parking lot's area has to be then landscaped elsewhere on the site. There is a requirement for parking lot trees as well. So typically you might see, for instance, like at the mall, North Grand Mall, there's like little islands with trees planted in them. We don't necessarily have that requirement that they're in the parking lot, but around the parking lot. So they're proposing these on the south side of the parking lot, 10 new trees. Previously, the other sides of the parking lot in 2016 were landscaped and already have trees planted around them. So that's why they're not planting it around the edges of the parking lot, because that's been landscaped already. Typically, the square footage of landscaping required would be separated, calculated separately from the amount of trees planted, because trees aren't typically clustered in this fashion with a site plan. But with this site, given that it's the rest of the site is all in grasses and landscaped already, staff is supporting an alternative compliance request that the applicant has made to count the cluster of trees, which is about 5,000 square feet of space, towards that 20% impervious surface being added requirement. So kind of meeting those both of those requirements at the same time with the new trees proposed. Yeah. So again, this is the cluster of new trees being proposed to the south of the parking lot. There's also one additional tree being proposed here. Surrounding land uses, there is a dwelling to the north adjacent to the existing parking lot that actually shares access with the church.
That's me.
That's you? Yeah. Okay. We're hoping that this proposal hopefully improves flow for the folks that use the access.
I'm hoping that it will kind of prevent people from parking right on my driveway.
Sure.
They park on the driveway and on the grass, especially the latecomers. I'm really for this expansion.
Awesome.
I just wanted to clarify it's needed. And, you know, most people know not to park on my driveway or on the grass.
Yeah, this will help.
A lot of people do, or enough people do. I normally go to church and Ames at 8, before 8:30, but Mass starts at 8:15, so I have to be out.
Okay.
Or you're going to their church.
Normally, if they do park on my driveway, they leave a gap so I can back into the parking lot and get out.
Thanks.
I'm just commenting, you know.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Staff assumed that it would help with the situation, but there you go.
Short of putting up cones or a temporary fence every Sunday, you know. leave. Thank you.
Thanks. There is a dwelling across the street as well. Otherwise, it's large agricultural parcels that are adjacent. These are some photos of the church. So this is looking southeast at the addition area they did in 2016. This is looking south along the right-of-way of 500, and this is the existing parking area and the existing paved accessible parking. This is looking west at the proposed and existing parking area. So this grassed area is where the proposed parking will be located. Similar in this photo, this is the south section of the parking area. So it's just grass right now. You can see kind of the landscaping here that's taken place. There are a few trees dispersed in here. It's hard to see in the photo, but that's the existing landscaping. It was planted in 2016, so it'll get bigger over time and provide more screening and buffering. And this is a picture of the shed that's going to be removed and the propane tanks that will move. So this, I'm kind of standing in the location where the driveway will be constructed from the parking lot in this photo. And this is looking north at the adjacent dwelling. So you can see they use this northern access for the dwelling as well as the church traffic. The board has to review several standards to issue a conditional use permit. The first is for compatibility. So that's looking at being compatible with the character of the area and the zoning district. There's no new improvements proposed here. It's the church use that's been located in the property for over 100 years. It's just an expansion of the parking area, so it's not really changing the use. And the parking lot expansion will hopefully improve the flow of parking and traffic on the site. With the expanded parking area, they will be 16 to 13 feet from the agricultural parcels adjacent to the property. There's a 5-foot setback required, so they're exceeding that, and there is that existing landscaping between the proposed parking area and the property line that will remain. And over time, especially the trees grow and provide more buffering and separation between the uses. With transition, some similar points here. It's really looking at, is there a suitable transition and buffer between proposed buildings and surrounding properties? So there's a similar separation from the agricultural land. The dwelling located to the north is approximately 50 feet from the north property line. The dwelling to the west is approximately 86 feet from the west property line. And the parking lot expansion is occurring on a different side of the site than where the dwellings are located, so on the east side. There's also additional landscaping planned to the south of the parking area. Regarding traffic, we're supposed to be looking for adequate ingress and egress. So again, they are proposing a new 25-foot driveway to connect to that existing circular drive to provide two more accesses onto the site. We are recommending a condition that they receive a demolition permit for the shed when they're ready to do that from our department. And that if there's any work in the right-of-way in the future, these conditions are just kind of notes for when the work occurs, of important things to remember that need to happen. That if, the accesses are widened or paved, the county engineer should do the permitting of those before that occurs. They are also proposing three new accessible stalls that will be paved and more paving in the existing parking area so that those accessible stalls can access the church over a paved instead of gravel. Parking and loading, this is specific to providing adequate parking. So again, the intent here is to provide adequate parking since there are current issues with the amount on the site. They are under the maximum permitted number. And we are recommending a condition that after the expansion occurs of the parking area, if stacked parking continues, for the church to explore other methods of marking the parking stalls. Hopefully the applicant indicates they don't think it's going to be an issue because folks won't have to do that anymore with additional parking available, but just to monitor that because it could create an issue. Signs and lighting. There will be internal signage for directing traffic with an exit only and an entrance only signs on that new circular drive that will be used. Those don't require permits from our department or under the Story County Land Development Regulations. And then on environmental protection, the landscaping that's required to be equivalent to 20% of the impervious surfaces on the site is also supposed to be positioned to provide stormwater absorption. So that's why it's located to the south of the parking area, because water will flow from the south. It flows from the south section of parking to the south, so the trees will provide some absorption in that capacity. Our stormwater requirements only apply if you're adding an acre or disturbing an acre of impervious surfaces, and they're disturbing under an acre in this case. But we have worked with the applicant to communicate that once you've disturbed a certain amount under our stormwater requirements, if you come back and add it another 20,000 square feet of impervious surfaces, then you'd have to put in stormwater retention at that point. So it compounds. So we have worked with the applicant and communicated that in the future, any expansions might fall under stormwater permitting. They do fall under our erosion control permitting requirements, and silt fencing was shown in the site plan. Staff did communicate with the applicant about stabilization requirements. So if within 14 days of disturbing an area, no further activity is going to occur, That site needs to be stabilized with, you know, seeding or mulching or something to cover up the exposed dirt area. And then the applicant will also be reusing the topsoil from the parking areas in the landscaping area. So that's one of our erosion requirements, to try to preserve existing topsoil on site. And then the other part of the environmental protection is, again, that request to count the cluster of parking lot trees towards the 20% impervious surface offset requirement for landscaping. If the Board of Adjustment concludes that all of the previously discussed development criteria are met, you must approve the application unless, based on the information submitted, there is a strong probability the development will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing and working in the adjoining area, impair an adequate supply of light and air, unduly congest the roads, or cause hazard from fire or flood, diminish or impair established property values. I will note on this one, the assessor's office had no comments. And not be in accordance with our C2C plan. In this case, the C2C plan is our future land use plan. It is really oriented towards preserving the county's rural character and high-value agricultural land. Agricultural land was previously taken out of production in 2016 with the conditional use permit to site the septic system in the parking area. No new agricultural land is being taken out of production with this request. We routed this to our interagency review team of county staff. We already went over that Environmental Health Department reviewed the steel bollards proposed to protect the septic system. They had some additional comments to protect the septic system during construction that are recommended as conditions on the permit. And again, the county engineer approved the changes to the driveways. We mailed public notice on February 12th. To property owners within a quarter mile and did not receive any comments. Here's some summary points of the proposal, but basically all applicable general site planning standards are met, and the intent of the parking is to create adequate parking so that there's no longer issues with stacked parking and right-of-way parking. And so staff is recommending approval with conditions, and those conditions again are mainly just, it's not any changes that need to be made to the current plan, it's just things to keep in mind as the parking lot develops, or as the parking lot construction occurs. So making sure the 10 trees are installed, requiring a demolition permit for the shed, and any work in the right-of-way needs a permit from the county engineer. Protecting the septic laterals during construction and making sure that construction traffic doesn't damage the pipe in between the distribution box and the parking lot. We're recommending the continuation of the condition on the previous conditional use permit, that there's no parking in the right-of-way permitted. Just making a condition that, as proposed, the southern access of the circular drive is an entrance only, and the northern portion is an access only, and there's adequate signage installed, and asking the church to monitor the stacked parking situation after the expansion to see if that's still an issue or not. So with that, I'll take any questions for staff.
Yeah, I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Nothing to do with the traffic or the parking lot or the overall design. That all looks great to my eye, but I do have a question about this doubling up,
mm-hmm.
because as I read 8811, because I did go back and look at it, there are definitely, you know, three separate requirements, mm-hmm. and there's a different purpose for the parking lot trees versus mm-hmm. the 20% landscaping requirement, mm-hmm. and to my mind, I wonder a couple things. One, are we setting a precedent here if mm-hmm. we say that you can combine those? Is this something that we would then feel obligated to do if somebody else makes a similar request? Is there something else they could do in terms of landscaping that would fulfill the purpose? Like, could they put 20% in CRP where you would have more roots, which would do more to absorb water than the current ag land covered by turf grass, which isn't particularly absorbent. So,
yeah, I can speak to that. So you're right. There's two separate requirements because the parking lot trees requirement has this intent not only to provide landscaping, but like shading of the parking area, right? And so with the previous request, they did new trees to meet that requirement around the edge of the parking lot already. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and a row of landscaping in between. So that kind of met the intent of the parking lot trees requirement in the previous CUP. And so then with the parking lot trees requirement, even though there's no more area to like add landscaping around the edge of the parking lot, we still have 10 trees that needed to be added. So staff kind of saw it as there's a 20% landscaping requirement and a parking lot trees requirement. And really the only place that you could put new landscaping around the parking lot to meet the parking lot tree requirement would be the southern edge, which also happens to be where runoff flows.
Provides the greatest benefit.
It provides the greatest benefit. You're right about, as a board, you could ask for additional landscaping elsewhere on the site. There was a concern about, you know, this entire area is already treed and in grasses. You brought up CRP. We didn't necessarily want to see any agricultural land taken out of production for the landscaping requirement. Since, yeah. Let's see. I have an old aerial. This is a better aerial of kind of the tree density on the site already. And perhaps the applicant could speak to that request too. They had some concerns about how tightly the site was already developed with trees and landscaping, and really just saw this area as, you know, the best place for new trees. And I think we have had an alternative request like this before, a compliance request like this before, where we counted the parking lot trees as the landscaping. Do you remember which one that was?
A specific project, but I think there was a combination. And it's really case specific.
Yeah. Like if there wasn't existing trees around the parking lot already, you'd know the intent of the parking lot tree requirement wouldn't be met.
And a big part of that too is your adjacent land use is a farm field,
right,
with probably no short-term, medium-term, long-term plan for like having that being developed to any other kind of use, which is something to think about too.
Mark Thiessen, Angelo Architectural, 12314 Urbandale, Iowa 323. One thing that's a little unique to the site is that you think about landscape area, and we don't have trees, but we have this whole, go to the septics, or go to the back out to the Fuller site. I don't know if this helps, but there is a large green lawn area between the two parking lots that you don't normally get, so it's a little different than what you're requesting for. When we would plant them full of trees, but we also have to, you know, we don't have a city sewer there, so we need to keep the roots and the trees out of the you know, the septic field, but we do. It's not just you know, solid pavement in the middle of our parking lot. We do have it's about 112 feet wide by about another 112 feet of green lawn area that exists, as this is the ridge line, you know, and this is where we had to put the septic for the Story County environmental, so the water would flow off of the crown of the hill or the as it filtered through the lawn. So we do have that larger green area that's a third the size of a football field sitting right between around our parking lot area. And I suppose the owner, we have a little bit, we could plant a couple of trees further here along the highway to accommodate, but this is pretty well tree. That helped. This area here, we could plant some trees, but phase two of our plan could extend out this way, so at some point they might just be getting mature when 5 or 10 years down the road they want to develop that a little more. And we have one huge volunteer area. There is one huge tree here showing. Is that still there, Gary?
Yeah.
Show your other aerial there to show the size of that tree. It is massive.
This one?
Right here. So it is broken up a little bit more. So it's not just one big sea of crushed rock.
Mm-hmm. I'll also just note the septic system's a good point, and we can't plant on top of a septic system either. That would really mess with the absorption and that kind of thing. So landscaping's not an option on top of that grassed area.
We couldn't get it too close to the. We didn't. We just did a few bushes on the edge of it. Mm-hmm. Didn't do a lot of big, overstory trees, due to Amelia's comment. So we just had these little
trees.
Yeah, little bushes there to screen that area and make it feel more.
So the tree roots don't get involved with the septic.
Yeah, I understand not putting the trees anywhere near the septic. You can do grasses near a septic, can't you?
Well, there is grass over the
septic. There's grass over it. I don't know.
With more substantial root systems.
Talking about like prairie type grasses?
Yeah. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Do you mow it, Gary?
Oh, it does get mowed now.
It does get mowed. Mm-hmm. I suppose if it doesn't, it just turns into thistles.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public while we're at it? Any more comments, board? Questions?
I think it's a good idea. I have a comment about the traffic.
Okay.
They're supposed to
Sorry. There's a microphone over there.
Give us your name and address, please.
Tom Gus. I live just to the north of the church, 14126 500th Avenue, Thames. They're supposed to, traffic is supposed to slow down. They got signs both north and south. It was supposed to, is it 30 miles?
35,
mile an hour zone. Traffic zone through there, but they kind of obey it on Sundays, but during the week, nobody does. I don't know, on Sundays, could they have like flashing lights or whatever? I don't know what the policy is. Comment, traffic is, county line road is a busy road. People.
Do you mean on the speed limit signs?
The speed limit sign.
That would be a request for the county engineer.
Okay. I'm just curious because they don't slow down during the week hardly at all. It's 50, 60 miles an hour. It's kind of a concern on Wednesdays because that's when you guys have your education stuff or your church meetings or whatever. And people are zipping through it. But overall, I'm in favor of this parking lot expansion. It's an active church. I'm really pleased about that. You know, it's not a dying church like a lot of country churches, so I'm pleased that they're able to expand on things. They did the addition, probably do another addition, things like that. So.
But just to get to your comment about the speed limit, it sounds like some of the traffic during the week is not abiding by the speed limit.
The week, just,
and so maybe that's a call to the county sheriff's department for them to kind of monitor that.
Sometimes the patrol guys are sitting in there and people see them sitting there and then they slow up. Or if they cruise up and down and they kind of slow down at that time. But it's a problem all over. Mm-hmm. When I try getting out of the driveway onto the highway, you know, I see somebody up like a mile and a half north. So then I'm just starting to go south, picking up speed a little bit. And they're all of a sudden on the tail. I know they didn't slow down to the speed limit. That's just a comment.
Yeah.
But I'm for the church parking lot expansion. So I'm pleased with that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
The speed limit isn't intended for on their services, is it?
It's kind of hard to see because there's a slight rise.
He's just saying during the week. You know, during the week. When there's service, they seem to abide by it. But when there's no service going on, then they don't pay attention to it.
But yeah, it's just an issue because there's a slight rise and you're pulling out. And
we could give a heads up, too, to the county engineer and the sheriff's department about your concerns that you have.
Control a little more.
We have to do that.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
Any other questions, board? Not, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to choose number two for CUP 02-16.1, approval with the listed conditions.
A motion. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Brekke.
Aye.
Winfrey.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, any comments from the staff?
Yes, we do have a few comments.
Okay.
Just today, we received from the Iowa State Extension, I think during our training, Kelly and Wendy, we talked about the issue extension. They put on some really good training. I know Randy and I went to it. They put out their schedule for spring. They offer 7-8 different sessions. The ones that are probably the closest would be Clear Lake, March 5, and Ankeny, March 24. There are a few others that are somewhat close to this area. They do ask that you register a week before if you want the meal that they provide. And if you're interested, please see Stephanie, who can assist with registering that. That's something that the county will pay for. It's usually like a 3-hour session. Included a pretty decent meal, and really there's some valuable information about what your role is. On the brochure that I copied, they go through some of that. They'll talk about legal issues, again, role as a Board of Adjustment member, variance requests, non-conforming uses. Some of these things really impact persons who serve on a Planning and Zoning Commission. But I think overall it's a really decent training opportunity.
I would concur. I did it last year. I thought it was really helpful.
Good.
Which one did you go to, Matthew?
They added in West Des Moines, I think.
That's fairly close.
Yeah. Wasn't too bad.
I went to Waterloo and it was
really we traveled.
Yeah.
So any questions about that, you can contact me or Stephanie. Again, it's something that the county will pay for if you're interested in doing it, but it does say that if you want the meal, we need to register at least a week before the event day. Also want to just kind of talk to you a little bit about our work program items. We're very, very involved in our work program. Every year we work with our Planning and Zoning Commission and our Board of Supervisors and come up with a list of what are really special projects outside of conditional use permits like what Amelia presented tonight. And we've got like 25 things that we're working on for this year. Two of those things are actually like subcategories of 5 or 6 additional things. But like one thing is the census. They appointed me as the complete count committee coordinator. We met last year. It's getting time to meet again, but we're kind of on the last phase of this because census day is April 1st. And so the goal is really to reach those persons who are considered hard to count, which can include persons who are language impaired, young people, young 18 to 24, children. They find that, like single parents sometimes don't always include their children. Homeless people need to be counted. And so we've got a list of things that we're going to be working on.
part of a previous work program item is for our department was to reach out to all the mobile home park managers and owners and just do a walkthrough with them. Introduce ourselves, walk through and report on what we find. A lot of times it's a site cleanup that needs to occur. But we thought this would be a great opportunity because we're going to be doing that in the spring to have them help communicate the need, the importance of self-enumerating. The census has communicated to us that with the electronic age, 78% of all the people in the U.S. are going to get like a one-page, 8.5 by 11 sheet, which will have a lot of the information. It'll tell them how they can access the census website by phone, by whatever device, computer. And then the remainder will receive that document, plus they'll get the actual questionnaire that they can repeat or submit. But they really want to encourage people to do this electronically. And so we've had many brainstorming sessions, and we had a really great idea of, having like a host computer to help people who may not have computers and those devices to help them self-enumerate. We just had somebody from the census hold up shop from 1 to 4 last Wednesday to help people who are interested in becoming like the census field workers. They have a need for over 100 to fill 100 positions at $21.50 an hour, which is a pretty decent temporary part-time job. And so that person will be back here at the assessor's conference room again on the 27th. So if you know somebody that's interested in a part-time job, he'll be back again to sign people up to apply for the job. We have been working on several surveys. One of the things that was brought up by a previous Planning and Zoning Commission member was to look at possible ways to reuse existing and new accessory structures to maybe see if those could be converted for living quarters. So we put together a survey for cities and counties. Counties are our same size. Also, another item that we have been given the authority to do is to reach out to find out what counties, what cities in Story County, what counties that are the same size as ours have building codes. What kind of arrangement takes place? Are they administered by staff? Do they have people who are licensed in all the different areas, the structural, building, plumbing, mechanical code? Or do they have a contract with like third-party companies? There's quite a few companies now that offer that service to cities or to counties. So we just sent that out this afternoon, so we're very excited about getting those results. We were asked to assess the needs of the residents of the unincorporated village of Fernald. It's just northeast of Nevada last year. And we were asked to do a similar thing for the other two unincorporated villages of Shipley and Iowa Center. And so we put together a survey and got pretty good responses from those that are within the Iowa Center area. And we're going to be meeting as staff to go through those on Friday. Anytime we have something that's a work program item, we always, do our assessments, come up with our recommendation, and then report to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then ultimately to the Board of Supervisors. So we're working on that.
Jerry, has there ever been any discussion about looking at those communities and giving them their own kind of zoning things that would be more like a little town so they wouldn't have to do some of the
stuff? I think there was something, like Fernald, I think, may have been incorporated.
Well, there was, I think in the 90s, I believe there was, most of Fernald is now zoned R1 residential. And there was some discussion over whether that was appropriate just to apply an existing zoning district to that area because the setbacks are
as you know. Steve's.
Yeah, I remember that meeting.
There's a lot of older buildings, and they don't comply to the R1.
And then they decided just to do R1 zoning instead of a custom zoning district. And there's been recent discussion about whether that's appropriate or not. But in Iowa Center, interestingly enough, they were going to rezone Iowa Center to a residential district. And the folks that lived there in like the 2000s said, no, we want to be A1 agricultural. So we have all these plots in Iowa Center, especially that are under 1 acre in size, even though that's the minimum square footage. They're all legal non-conforming because they requested to be rezoned A1 agricultural because they want like horses and livestock and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so the way it works is, like she said, they're non-conforming. And so if you have a house that might be 10 feet from a what would be a front yard setback, under our standards, you're allowed to add on. You just cannot encroach any further to that 10-foot setback. So you could add on to the sides or the back, but you just can't go any further into what would normally be like a 40-foot setback.
But that could be part of the...
Yeah, but for now, they had concerns about road repairs. It involved our department, environmental health, engineering, secondary roads. We looked at road improvements. There were like traffic signs that were missing, properties that didn't have 911 addresses, building projects without permits, buildings that were dilapidated that needed to be addressed. What else did we... There was a whole... Two or three different meetings, got some really good feedback, and I think we did a pretty, you know, decent job of responding to what their concerns were. So I think that with that success, that's why we were asked to, you know, reach out to the other two villages. Ames Urban Fringe Plan, it's an agreement. Most of you probably heard about it. It's an agreement that Story County has with the City of Ames, City of Gilbert. It was established in 2008. In 2011, there was a 28E agreement, which under state law, 28E, it allows governmental entities to work together for a common purpose or service. In this case, it's land use planning for the 2 mile area. That agreement is going to expire in 2021, July of 2021. And so, our board and our Planning and Zoning Commission would like us to get out ahead of that before it expires and communicate with our partners, the City of Ames and Gilbert, the support that we have for the current plan, their interest in expanding that agreement, and then working with them to amend it. And so the board just took action on Tuesday to support just that, working with them to extend it. And then we put together a tentative discussion review schedule that we're going to be working with the PNZ and the Board of Supervisors on, and then eventually bringing them together in May. But in March of last year, they put together some key items that they addressed that were concerns with regard to the existing agreement that they want to see addressed with a proposed improvement or an amendment to the plan. And so that's part of what we're going to be discussing with that. The last thing, CitizenServe, we're very excited about, is going to be our permitting, zoning permit, development case, application software. It'll apply to the general public, builders, developers, anybody who would like to submit a zoning permit, a development case application. All their drawings, all their information, they can do that via this cloud-based program that we're working on implementing. Stephanie assisted greatly with, before we selected CitizenServe, with reviewing, we probably looked at probably 12 different options, went with this one, we thought they were the best, and we've been working with them internally for about the last 2 months. Primarily just looking at all the different applications. We've got, do we have 15 applications for different things? So it takes a while to figure out, okay, going from a paper form to an electronic version, you know, how is this going to work? How is it going to be the most effective and most easily understood by the general public? So that's been, I think, a pretty rewarding process. Stephanie, Amelia, you have anything to add? So we're hoping to go live first with the zoning permits. Possibly, I don't want to say a date, but maybe sometime this summer.
We're working on that. Maybe hopefully next week we'll have a better idea of a date.
And then we'll be working on the development case application process. And then the last thing, Steve, you could probably chime in on, and it was something that we learned at our elected officials and department head meeting, and that's the city of Nevada is going to be working on a road improvement for North, for 6th Street. It also is going to include the two east-west roads to the north of the Story County Administration Building. It's going to include alleyways and the sidewalk.
Yep.
It's a two-year project.
Yep.
They're going to phase it. Anything else you want to share about that?
Phase one is to go right from the intersection out here on 6th Street up to our intersection, and it's going to take, phase one's going to take the center of the street out, if everything goes according to Hoyle. And then they are going to, the next portion of that is once they get that replaced, then their plan is to go up and take out the sidewalks next. And then that'll be replaced. Then phase two are the alleys, the one behind State Bank, one over here on the other side of, you know, the back on each side that runs parallel. And then stage three is next year they're going to come up and they'll take from our intersection, our cross street, then up across Lincoln Way. And I think they go a block north of Lincoln Way past George's Pizza. The unknown is going to be access, that sort of thing. I know from, you know, a business downtown's concern, they have stated that when the demolition starts, they will they'll stay pretty much adhering to that phase plan. However, if they get hung up and the people doing the demolition, they may pull them out and also start them in on the alleys. So at one point in time, those of us that are in Main Street, we could be an island. I mean, we're looking at different ways, parking, how to get access.
How your customers can get to you.
Yeah, that's it. Our employees get to us, all sorts of stuff, our ATMs. It's going to be a big project. Anybody that remembers the project that did the southern part of 6th Street, when they got in there, and it has to be done. I mean, the whole project, the internal structure really needs to be replaced. But there, you'll get in there, there's things like coal chutes, there's fuel oil tanks, there's all sorts of things. There was a meeting not too long ago, and I think it was Ottumwa. Both West Union and Ottumwa have undergone this. Well, several have. So is Waverly. They did the demolition and they uncovered the water lines, and then they stopped. And during the night, one of the water lines, when it didn't have the pressure of the water on it, was old enough, it sprung a leak and pumped 50,000 gallons of water into the basement of one of the buildings. There's also concern that due to the condition of some of the buildings, they take out the sidewalks, they take out the center street, the building could come over. So there's all sorts of discussions going on. There have been all sorts of meetings. Yeah, it's kind of a hot button. Everybody agrees it has to be done. It's just, how are we going to get it done without a minimal amount of chaos?
Is there a start time plan for this yet?
They're just letting it out for bids, if I understand right. But the start time that they were looking at, they wanted to get at it either the end of March, first part of April.
So I figured to try to get it through the summer.
Mm-hmm. Just as soon as they get started on it. So
part of the reason why I mentioned it is because of the parking situation. You're going to have access in, but it'll be different than it is now.
Yeah.
You
should be able to get into this parking lot down here, you know, coming up the side street and mm-hmm. you know, in that direction. But it's for a while there, it's going to be a little hairy.
But like you said, it's needed.
It is needed. Yes.
So is it a pavement issue or infrastructure under the pavement?
Both.
Both going,
yes.
Obviously. Okay.
Because, well, you take, for example, the alleys behind us are in terrible condition. Mm-hmm. Then there's the unknown on the infrastructure. For example, for the bank, the infrastructure comes in from the alley. Okay. Well, they want to change all the infrastructure and bring it in from Main Street, which means we're going to have to reroute things around us. There's still that discussion going on. So,
okay.
Exciting.
Oh, it'll be exciting.
Sorry about that, Steve.
No, that's all right. It is. And don't take my comments wrong. It is something that needs to be done. It's just making sure we get it done. And I've been through a couple of cities that have had it done, or I've been in the process of it. And it gets to be a little bit hairy when you're trying to get access to some of these businesses. So, yeah. No, it's a good thing.
Yeah. That's all that I have.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions about any of that?
I'm just wondering how you repurpose accessory buildings for housing?
That was one of the things that came up by, actually, one of our chairs of the Planning and Zoning Commission wanted us to look into it. And there are states, California mandated it, because some of the cities,
California doesn't count.
Very regulated.
we can all vote on that.
It's required. Cities are required to adopt regulations to allow these conversions to take place.
Huh.
That's not to say that everybody buys into it, but so we're just at that stage of collecting information, and then that's part of our job, to figure out, okay, here's what's out there. And again, we're looking at Story County, we're looking at cities, we're looking at adjacent counties, we're looking at counties the same size as Story County. We're having a needs assessment done. We hired, or the board approved RDG to do a study, a countywide study, that would look at all the cities and the unincorporated area to determine, you know, existing housing situations with a bunch of recommendations. That probably won't be completed till the end of the year, but this project will probably dovetail into that.
That housing study, there's also a housing, Nevada's going through a housing readiness study also. There's a substantial amount of discussion as far as housing throughout the area, throughout Eastern Story County especially. Burke Marketing, when they open up and start hiring, they're going to be hiring 200 plus people. And the question is, where are we going to put them? There's, you know, room in Ames, I'm sure, but you get outside of Ames and you go to Nevada, Colo, McCallsburg, Maxwell, there just isn't room. So that's what's
the housing. It's a request we get pretty frequently, too.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, to put, for instance, like another dwelling unit in their garage for a family member or a renter. So these would be accessory to existing dwellings.
Or to do something within the confines of their dwelling.
Like
their mom and dad, they're ailing, they would like them to come to live with them, or siblings. So one of the things I didn't mention is we're looking at our entire land development regulations from beginning to end. And so these are some things that we're also working on. You know, do we have our definition right? You know, maybe the way we've been doing things with the conventional, subdivision and
single family,
where everybody has the large lot and the river running through it with the trees, and we're exploring all the options. And like I said, we're taking it very seriously.
Yes.
And like she said, we get calls all the time to do something beyond what they're permitted. And this is, Story County, it's changing. It's changed a lot since I came in 2015. We feel it all the time.
Well, you've been raised around here, and it's changed a lot since I got here in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
You guys sound awfully busy.
Yeah. We love
but very
we do
simple projects.
It's
we can see policy.
We are pretty active.
I don't have septic in my barns. That's the only problem.
That's my first thought.
But anything else?
If the board, if not, if it allowed it.
Yeah. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Do your second.
Seconded.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you, everyone.